Hello, everyone. Hope your day is going well. Let's start with a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Father, thank you so much for this day. And give us a chance to look into your word, Lord, and that we can learn from it and help us in our daily activities. Help all those listening and give them a special blessing today, Lord. And may they have a great day in following your guidance. And that we always look forward to whatever you have in store for us each and every day. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So, in the second half of chapter 8, and I labeled this one, the plan to help the Jews. So as we left off yesterday, we found out that now the king knows that Esther is a Jew, and that Mordecai is her cousin, and that and now that everything is good, no more secrets in that area. And the king is okay with it, and he's given Mordecai a great position at the head of the government. And so we still have the problem of Haman and what he did. And under Persian law, they can't change that. So what we're going to see here in the second half is a plan to help the Jews fend off this day that Haman set up ahead of time to have all the Jews killed. But this time, they're going to be able to defend themselves. So let's take a look at how they're going to accomplish that. And we'll get some verses up here. Remember correctly, we had this map up yesterday, kind of showing. And some I found interesting. When we get to the verse, it just dawned on me as I was prepping for this, that there are waterways that possibly could have helped. Particularly when it comes to the Arabian Sea over here. And it actually goes around underneath Saudi Arabia, if you remember, and comes back up in the Red Sea. And I wonder if they use that at all in their ability to to get the message out, even back this far. There's some evidence of that shipping was quite popular even during the this time frame. That's something I was just thinking about. Probably not, but they don't mention it in the verse when we get to it. So let's get our verses up here. And my program to read the verses from. And we had left off at Esther 8, verse 9. We just finished up 8. And we talked a little bit about the promises that the Persian rule about never breaking a rule. Kind of reminds us all of God's rule that he makes and keeps his promises and that they can't be broken, and how good that is that those things are that God is a man of integrity and doesn't go back on his word in a positive way. And but that's also can be a little bit of a hindrance too, and that's why we're sinners, is that God, because he's so holy, cannot even look upon sin. And that's why he had to send his son to pay the price for our sin. And we praise and thank so much what he did for us. And now we can, through Jesus Christ, come to the Father. And that Jesus acts like a filter. And because the Lord has died and paid that penalty of sin for us, the death sentence, that we too can now approach the Father appear sinless, even though we're still in sinful bodies. So don't take away from that. And then we still have to repent, and we still have to seek the Lord daily. But that we have an advocate for us and helping us along the way. That'd be Jesus Christ. So let's get into this. One long verse here, verse 9. I don't think you can even read it on the screen there. If you got your Bibles, we're at Esther 8, verse 9. Then were the king's scribes called at the time in the third month. This is the month Sivan. So notice that third month. We'll kind of mention another month, which is the 12th month, when it comes to when all this is going to happen. So we got, so basically right now we got about 8 months, 9 months before that bad day is going to happen, which is in the 12th month. And I'll show you the verses on that here in a minute. King's scribes called at the time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the third 3 and 20th day, which would be the 23rd day of the month thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants, and the deputies, and rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. So it's basically going to be written in all the different languages of this entire region. I mean, we got the Indians, we got the Persians, we got Palestine, which is, I don't even like the word Palestine. I prefer Israel, Babylon. We got Turkey, talking about different languages. We got Egypt, and I think there's even different languages down in Ethiopia. And up into Greece, the Greece area, there up in the Thrace. Armenia has a separate language. Let's look at this map. So all those different languages, so I'm sure the king had all those different languages, people who could write in those languages. And here we talk about the lieutenants, kind of an interesting note. Lieutenants are better known, or princes. Princes is also mentioned here. Kind of a symbolic word to go either way. This all started with Darius in Daniel 6:1. Kind of ties this book to Daniel. We see that over in Daniel 6:1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. So here we have a general reference of 120 princes. And during the Persian Empire, they talk about 127. So sometime between when Darius first started the kingdom, they added seven princes. But I can see a correlation there. And I found it kind of interesting, too, that it was actually, the Persians were well known for their method of being able to, like a mail system. That kind of reminds me of the old Pony Express, when you see some of these verses coming up, that they're going to go out by for Shushan, which is basically in right here, right at the end of that red line. This is one of the highways going through the Persian Empire, one of the main highways. I showed you a picture yesterday. Let's see if I still got it here. I think it was a different picture. Oh, yeah. Let me just show it real quick. This one, get the verse out of the way. And this one here, you can see these are all the different roads that went through this particular area. All the red is the all the royal highways, they call them. They were used for communication and trade, government control. So the Persian system had quite a system for that time frame. Stay with this map. Here I can see where Susa is, where the what we're talking about, right at the end of that red line. So, where were we? Oh yeah, we're talking about Daniel, and then talking about this system, and just the general idea. Basically, from this area over here, over near the this is the Indian, the start of India. You can see. I get this out of the way for a second. You can see where it says India right there. So we're into India a little bit. It's not the the full continent of India, but most of it. From there, all the way over to, it mentions Ethiopia, is about 3,200 miles as a crow flies. And so you can see that's quite a distance to try to spread out and get the word out. But like I just mentioned, this is the third month of the year, and luckily the actual incident isn't due to happen until the 12th month of the year. So we got 8 months. They got 8 months pretty much to get the word out to all this area. But I can think even in this time frame by horseback that's going to be quite a task. There's something that when I was thinking about different tongues, it reminded me of something Paul said. I guess I'll show you over in 1 Corinthians. So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. So it's just a New Testament. He was actually talking about speaking in tongues, but it's kind of a way to think about the fact that there are so many different languages in this particular region that the apostles were going into. You can imagine that it was quite a daunting task to try to speak about Jesus Christ to maybe in languages you didn't know. So that's what I personally believe, even though I think you can pray in tongues. And it might be, and it does have a purpose, that what happened in Acts 2 to me was actually the ability for the apostles, the way I read it, for them to be able to communicate with almost any language, and that God gave them that ability because of the mission that he had put them on. That's just my take on it. Someday maybe we can ask the Lord if that was one of the intended purposes. Okay, on to verse 10. And he wrote in the king Artaxerxes' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by post on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young and dromedaries. So here's the method they used to get them out. And you might say to yourself, mules, boy, they must be slow, you know. And actually the word here is it's probably not the greatest translation, but it also might mean that realize you got a lot of different kinds of territory here too, and that there's mountainous regions, there's areas that maybe a horse can't go into as easy. Some areas you definitely need camels, because camels can go across desert areas, probably going across the Arabian desert over here into this area. You would want camels, but going up into the mountains, up into Armenia, and up in I've been to Turkey, and there's a lot of mountains up in this area of Turkey, and so there you might want a mule. But these particular mules were actually very, very swift, according to what I was reading. And over in Isaiah 60, verse 6, it mentioned them. It also mentions that term right there, the dromedaries. And it was just a term for a rather swift beast that you could get to other places. And here it is in here in Isaiah. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring golden incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Over in Isaiah 66:20, and they shall bring all your brethren from an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel being an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. So here we can see that there's many different modes of transportation, depending on where you're coming from. Excuse me. Also over in Jeremiah 2:23, it mentions it also. How cursed I say, I am not polluted, I have not gone after Balaam. See the way in the valley, know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary, transferring her ways. So I just wanted to, I picked up this verse mainly for that last sentence, that the dromedaries are considered swift. Oh, that's the verse 11. Wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together. And this is where this is the plan. This is what the king is, what Mordecai has, by way of the king's ring, is going to send out to the Jews. The king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and providence that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. So not only is he giving them permission to kill them, remember these are still an occupied, you know, people group. They were originally in captivity through Babylon, and that these people chose to say, remember we talked about the bond slave, and so that and the king has actually given them permission to basically act in a way that was more like a regular citizen of Persia. to defend yourself. And that wasn't always given to a slave. It doesn't say they were slaves, but that they were captive out of originally out of Jerusalem area. It's interesting how he said that he even allowed them to take a prey, which means they can even anybody they killed, they were allowed to take whatever they could out of their household as a prey. And I like it. I'm jumping ahead to chapter 9 for a second, in verse 2, how it says the Jews didn't do that. And I think that was really nice of them. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the province of the king Xerxes to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. Oh, I guess I put that verse in there. I'll get to that other verse tomorrow when we start talking about chapter 9. But I wanted to show you that that did work. So I just wanted to keep you hanging for all day. But I thought I put a verse in there about... Okay, we'll get to it tomorrow. But I'd like to say, but God, and I think God had his hand in this whole thing also. And over in Psalms 37, 14 and 15, talks a little bit about this. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. As you'll see here shortly, we're going to talk about the fact that what's interesting is that a lot of, from fear, a lot of the Persians and whatever country that they were in decided to actually become Jewish and so that they would be saved, that they feared the Lord so much, that they feared the Jews so much. We should also remember that, you know, if we're righteous, you know, if we righteously seek the Lord, that death of the body is just a stepping stone to eternity. And so I think that most of us don't want to deal with the pain of death, and I'm fully on board with that part of it. But we shouldn't fear death in itself, because we're going to be going on to eternity with the Lord. And so what a great day that's going to be. We notice that's mentioned over in the Psalms 137:8. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall be thou that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. So be happy in death. And that sounds like a strange term, isn't it? And talking about taking a spoil, this is where I mentioned about taking a spoil over in 2 Chronicles 15, 11 through 15. We talk about, the Lord talks about this a bit. Starting in verse 11, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their hearts and with all their soul. And whoso would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swore unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judea rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was fond of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. So, when we're in the Lord's favor, it's like getting a spoil. Okay, verse 12. Upon one day in all the province of the king Xerxes, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, say this is the one I mentioned, which is the month Adar. And make note of that. I picked up on that upon one day in all the provinces of king Xerxes. So they were only allowed to do this on one day. Both the Jews... the non-Jews were allowed to kill the Jews, but it all had to happen one day according to the creed. And here they're reinforcing the fact that that they only have one day anyways. And just to show you that the original decree is over in Esther 3, 13 through 15. And the letters were sent by post into all king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take to spoil them for a prey. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and a decree was given in Shushan, the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed. I'll get to it. I think I might have already mentioned it, but that term perplexed kind of indicates that the people were not really crazy about this idea. They were going to follow orders as given, but that they weren't crazy about doing this. They probably had lots of friends who were Jews, and we're going to see that I think that probably that would be their saving grace, that maybe a lot of people were actually happy when they found out that they didn't have to kill them now. Okay, on Esther 8:13. Now we're back to the current writing, which is going out to give the Jews the same basic ability to fight back. A copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So this time it's the Jews being told that they can avenge themselves. So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and a decree was given at Shushan the palace. And when I was thinking about this, there was a footnote about the fastest mode, and this is what made me think about the Pony Express, because they were basically men who would could move mail cross country in the United States during the 1700s and 1800s. But it was done by horseback, and they would actually have like a system where people would be ready at each landing to rest, and somebody else would pick up the mail and continue on the next leg with a fresh horse. And I found a verse that talks about the similar thing over in 1 Samuel 21:8. And here David said unto Amalek, "Is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my spear nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." So here he lightened the load. He didn't have his spear. He didn't have his sword, so that he could move as fast as possible. And we see this basic same thing happening here in Esther. And I also love that we see this verse mentioned about Shushan, I guess as a reminder of the time frame we're talking about. It's also mentioned in Nehemiah 1:1. And so it appears Nehemiah and Daniel, Daniel more in a vision. Nehemiah may have been in Shushan sometime around this time frame, or possibly at some point during this time frame. Because here in Nehemiah 1:1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hachilah, "And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace." So we see Nehemiah was there, and that's when he gets the instruction that he's allowed by Xerxes to rebuild the city walls.